Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. Before we get rolling here, Rex Road is on like a gigantic black licorice rant this morning about how much he loves it. Are you team black licorice? Is this something that you've done before?
I'm not even kidding right now. If you put a piece of black licorice on my mouth, I would dry heave for hours.
Thank you. So this is what it felt like when the two of you
of that on my taste buds would ruin my day.
This is what it felt really like when hurts. The two of you ganged up on me for banana pudding. So this is payback for you, Rex Road.
Well, it's funny because I was just going to bring that up. At least you're on my banana pudding team. So
I can't even wrap my head around. Like, listen, there are some things in life, whether it be sauerkraut or banana pudding, that I can understand how people like.
Yeah.
Black licorice, I can't even wrap my head around.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
I can eat it. I can eat it by the pound, and I'm not kidding.
Oh.
But apparently it can kill you, so I'm going to stop
apparently very
doing
dangerous.
That. Did you know? Yeah, we could go down the rabbit hole. Like, I've been Googling all this stuff. Like, people have died from eating too much black licorice. I had no idea.
I think if I tried to bite it, bite a piece off, I would die. I believe that.
David, we appreciate you taking time to join us today. So you've written a great piece that we've talked about here on the show, just about NIL and what Tennessee could be doing to maybe give themselves a leg up there in that. Just kind of explain kind of the 30,000-foot view. I don't want to ruin your entire article. We're going to tweet that out here in just a few minutes. But what you were going with there and what you learned through this process of what Tennessee is doing with NIL.
I think the biggest thing is just that there are these things called collectives, which are essentially not that dissimilar to university-sponsored donor groups, but these are third-party, not officially associated with the university. They put that money together, and then they will give athletes money to appear at events, do autograph signings, do sign memorabilia and auction it off, and then that is sort of their presence and their good cheer and a handshake is their deliverable. And this is something that Tennessee is doing and that they're a little bit ahead of the game right now, but people are going to be hustling to catch up in the year to come because this was a major recruiting weapon late in the 2022 class. Kind of around mid to late fall, it started to become something that was really popular. Something that had a lot of influence, but this is a full recruiting class, and people kind of know this is happening now, and this is going to be, I really do think collectives is going to be the biggest buzzword in college athletics in 2022.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, and I guess, you know, you can kind of look at this. You have a segment in here, David, about Hendon Hooker, too, and him coming back, but you can kind of look at this and almost look at like the sort of turnaround that this the class had late for Tennessee. Maybe attribute it to some of this. But there's some discussion from these guys in there about, you know, being able to make up that ground on the top of the top. And we know the program's up there, that the old model wouldn't have allowed that. Do you buy that, or do you think that this gets equalized pretty quickly?
So here's where I kind of stand with it is everyone's going to jump in this space in the near future. Some people are going to be better at it than others. Some people, like the guys at Spire, are going to have real experience in this space and kind of know what they're doing. And I think there's going to be some amateurs and some, quite frankly, crooks that fly into this business at some point because it's pretty unregulated at the moment. It's just like, hey, we're passionate about the same things you are. Give us your money, and we're going to make this happen. Well, when you have people that are former sports agents and have 10 years of sports marketing experience, that's different than a couple of dads who are like, I'm tired of our recruiting class only being, you know, whatever. So there's going to be a lot of variance. But ultimately, the places that care about college football are going to do this. And I think there's going to be some opportunity for people who are better, more well-funded, and more well-organized to have some upward mobility. somewhat. I don't think that means that if you have a well-funded collective, all of a sudden you're going to go from top 20 recruiting classes to top 5 recruiting classes overnight. But what I do think it means is, like many of the changes in college football, if you don't adjust, I mean, it really is an adapt or die situation. I've compared these collectives to the forward pass, and I think it's pretty similar that this is, until the NCAA or some kind of rule changes in the current state, this is going to be a huge part of college athletics moving forward. And if you don't like it or you're uncomfortable with it, and your program or your university is, you know, putting up walls to not allow these things to happen, and you can't offer a kid and you're getting, you know, outbid, it's not quite that simple, but, you know, that you can't match some offers, you're gonna really struggle. You're going to start taking some L's on the recruiting trail. And the thing about L's on the recruiting trail, guys, is they translate to the field in a hurry.
Do you anticipate – well, a couple questions on this. First of all, is this much different from what you imagine might happen when, for years and years, we talked about the need for players to be able to, you know, monetize their name, image, likeness? And also, do you think that there's actually a chance that this stuff gets regulated moving forward?
I really don't think it will get regulated, mostly because the NCAA in its current state is one – not motivated and not in a position to offer any kind of, people want to call them guardrails or anything like that. The Alston case was a butt-whooping. When you go to the highest court in the land and nine people, all nine judges, say that your entire business model is unconstitutional because you are essentially oppressing athletes, when you start offering up more guidelines, when that comes up in court, you're going to get smacked again. Because there's a pretty strong precedent. So I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think I expected it to look quite like this, and I think when I look at that big picture, I feel pretty naive because I'm like, of course it was always going to go to this. Of course recruiting was always going to be the biggest piece of this. And if people want to call it pay-for-play in spirit, I probably wouldn't disagree. But ultimately, the rules are pretty simple. You know, the schools can't arrange deals. And if you pay a player, he needs to offer a deliverable, and the deliverable is appearances at events, autographs, some social media posts, but mostly, you know, doing these NIL events that they've been putting on. And, you know, it's very legal at this point from every understanding we have of the rules.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, to that point, do you think that people involved in college football, whether it's program or whether it's coaches or athletic directors, do you think that maybe even they underestimated the impact of NIL early on? And how much will collectives like this, do you think, maybe change that, not only in Tennessee, but really around the country at this point as they move forward?
Yeah, I'm sure there were some. I mean, there's some forward-thinking folks, and I don't know that anybody saw that it was going to look like this, this well-funded, this organized. I didn't even know the money was this big. I didn't expect the money to be. I mean, routinely, there's a lot of guys getting six-figure deals right now, and we write about that in the piece. And, you know, these collectives are going to need some pretty deep pockets to do the kinds of things that they want to do in the future. And, you know, it's the SEC. The arms race is going to heat up in a hurry, and you got to commit to that. Otherwise, you're going to suffer in recruiting. And recruiting, as anyone knows, is a huge piece of college football, the lifeblood of your program. And if you get lax with that and you start losing, you're going to have some upset people. And upset people are saying, how do we fix this? Well, the answer to a lot of that's going to be fund this collective. and so this is only going to grow.
Yeah, and so one of the things about this, I mean, I love everything about this, frankly. But one of the things I really love is the idea that maybe now we can stop worrying about building chocolate waterfalls and thinking that that's like the be all end all. Like, I mean, that's to
Black
me. I look
waterfalls.
Oh God, don't even get me too. Don't go get me started on that, man. but seriously, like, I feel like we know that there's been like money has changed hands despite what Nick Saban or whoever wants to say, right? We understand that, but I guess I'm looking at this and saying, I think that there's just going to be, yes, it's over the table, but also I think more now, more directly to people rather than to, hey, you guys, don't you want to come here? Look at your locker has its own, you know, nap cove. I mean, is that, do you feel like that's?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the facilities arms race has always been ridiculous. I mean, you look at it where there's actually a business and actual adults and not exploitative labor practices going on in the pros. How many free agency decisions have you ever heard where they talked about the facilities in the
right,
NFL?
Right.
That's not a factor. Okay, do you have a bench press? Do you have a couple fields? All right, let's go. Like, how much are you paying me? What are we running? Am I going to be able to play? Okay, that's kind of what they're thinking. Well, that's kind of what I think some of these recruiting decisions are going to boil down to. You know, can I play? What are the opportunities? Can I get to the next level? And what's the pay going to look like? What can I make there? What is my market value in that market? And people can say, well, if these guys haven't earned it, you're paying them above their market value. I mean, guys, this is capitalism. We already have a few months of evidence that says, hey, no. People want this, their services. There is a value there. You're worth what somebody will pay you. And I think despite decades of bad faith administrators arguing that athletes didn't have value, well, we've been able to have that value for less than a year, and evidence says they have a whole bunch of value. And I think the last 15, 20 years, 30 years as the money has exploded in college sports, as history gets further and further away from that, I think we as a society are going to be more and more embarrassed at how college football operated when you have kids that you're illegally restricting them from monetizing any part of their experience and pumping millions upon millions, and if you extrapolate over multiple programs, billions of dollars into brick and mortar and none into people. I'm with you, Joe. It's great to see because, you know, we were talking about this on the Andy Staples show this week. As somebody who loves college football, certain aspects of it, I've had to hold my nose for a long time. But you know this is wrong. And, you know, I love the sport, but you have to bring that up at every opportunity to be able to kind of sleep at night. And the sport is a lot more fair and equitable, and I find myself having to hold my nose a lot less these days. And that is a great feeling for somebody who, you know, I love college football. It's my favorite sport.
I love every word you've said in this segment other than about black licorice.
He's going to be really mad about this for a long time. He'll be all right. You'll get over it. David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Really fascinating story that we've just tweeted out at 102.5 The Game. David, really appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what David had to say there. Take a look at how this new development with NIL maybe impacts Tennessee in their recruiting as they move forward here. That's coming up on the other side. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. If you're out there a little frustrated in the bedroom, you're more normal than you think, by the way. This is so common, erectile dysfunction. Hillside Medical Clinic, though, we have a breakthrough called wave therapy. This is a technology that delivers pressure waves into the blood vessels, causing those blood vessels to open up and expand. It's treating the root cause of the issue instead of just putting a Band-Aid on it like what the pill does. And we've helped a lot of guys and couples get rid of their ED.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
It is really extensive, actually. We have 50 clinical studies posted at hillsidemedicalclinic.com. Most people have heard of Cambridge. The biggest hospital in America actually said that this technology leads to a clinical increase in blood flow.
And, Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do. If you're ready to regain your love life, guys, or if you just want to improve frequency in the bedroom, we do a lot of that. Call us now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound will be free, plus this gift that I think you'll love. It produces immediate results in the bedroom, worth hundreds of dollars. It's free to callers now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic today at 615-576-5000. Join the Nashville Super Speedway in 102.5 The Game for the official NASCAR Daytona 500 watch party this Sunday at 3rd and Home at 919 3rd Avenue North. Starting at 1 p.m., NASCAR fans and sports fans alike are encouraged to come out and join in on the fun while enjoying a full menu of food and drinks at 3rd and Home. Those in attendance can take the opportunity to purchase tickets for this summer's NASCAR Tripleheader Weekend, and they'll have a chance to win great prizes courtesy of 102.5 The Game and Nashville Super Speedway, Music City's home for NASCAR Cup racing. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry.
So it's a CCR and Black Licorice Discovery Day here on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is.
I think CCR might be my new favorite. I need to listen to it with the windows down in my car driving home this afternoon.
I tell you what, CCR is it's a pretty good summertime set list. That happens quite frequently with old Rob Stanley.
Great band. So Born on the Bayou, probably my favorite one. You might want to check that out.
It's good stuff.
Also, Green River is way up there on my list of CCR favorites, but it's a long list.
I'll queue them up. We got a couple more breaks, guys.
I wonder if there's is there a CCR helpline? They in Hall & Oates territory?
I don't know.
Joe, maybe I can't believe you can't go to Hall & Oates this weekend.
Yeah.
Down to Loretto.
No, I know. That's too bad.
Shout out to Loretto, Tennessee. I've been there a few times. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And how far away is Loretto?
It's about an hour and a half, hour and 45. It's almost Alabama.
And so Hall & Oates, is this like a fair or something?
I don't think so. I don't know what
it's going
on. Is this
like when I saw Metallica at the Ionia Free Fair in Ionia, Michigan in 1994?
I don't know.
No, it's like I looked up the venue, and it's almost like a theater, and there's tables.
It looks like a clubhouse.
Interesting.
Hall & Oates.
Okay.
An intimate setting.
You could have actually met John Oates in person and had a convo.
I know. I would have gone. We should have him on the show again.
Maybe we can.
By the way, real fast on the Black Licorice, and thank you. There is some support on the text line, driven by WellsonCountyHunting.com, and I appreciate your support. We are, we're a small group, but we're a hearty group of folks. But
at least for now, until you have too much Black Licorice.
Associated Press story, September 23rd, 2020. A Massachusetts construction worker's love of black licorice wound up costing him his life. Eating a bag and a half every day for a few weeks threw his nutrients out of whack and caused the 50-year-old man's heart to stop, doctors reported Wednesday.
A bag and a half is pretty extreme, man.
It is. But here's a quote. Quote, even a small amount of licorice you eat can increase your blood pressure a little bit, said Dr. Neil Butala, cardiologist at Massachusetts General Hospital. The problem is glycyrrhizic acid, which is found in black licorice, many other foods. It can cause dangerously low potassium and imbalances in other minerals called electrolytes.
That's
I'm going to press forward and eat black licorice.
This could be a big day for you.
I mean, I'm not lying. I'm actually not exaggerating at all. Like Katie sometimes would get me these bags of this Australian, especially lately, because you can't find it. Now I get why you can't find it.
This is why you can't find it, Joe.
But dude,
maybe tell her to dial back a little bit.
I'm not lying that like I have crushed a whole bag or two of black licorice in a sitting. So I need to stop. So thank you. This may have saved my life.
I knew there was something bad about it.
Life-saving show today for Rex Road. It's good stuff. What do you think of this that Ubbin has come out with? By the way, great piece at The Athletic. Again, we've tweeted that out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. But this collective that has been set up by the University of Tennessee and NIL.
Well, not by the university.
Not by the university.
Not by the university.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. Not by the university. But this collective that has been set up that really, I think, could be a game changer in terms of recruiting for Tennessee and what all goes into that. What do you think of this whole process and how maybe this helps Tennessee recruiting as they move forward, especially in football, as we know?
See, I think they've gotten a head start. So I think Tennessee is clearly ahead of a lot of places. I also think that you're going to see a real fast catch up, because you know how it is in this sport. Whatever it is that helps you get talent, which helps you win games, make money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, chase what everybody's chasing, people are going to immediately look at that and say, okay, what needs to be done here in our town? What needs to be done here in Tuscaloosa? What needs to be done here in Baton Rouge, wherever? I think that there's an edge because these guys have been cutting edge on this stuff. But I think it's going to quickly – you're going to see everybody do this. And you're talking about $25 million annual goals for budgets.
Yeah.
Going directly to players. And, again, I'm with Ubbin 100%. I love college football so much, and there are times when over the years I've stepped back and said, man, there's some really messed up stuff about all this. And this is what it should be. If some kid can go make millions because he's good at freaking whatever video game on YouTube,
Fortnite?
That's what we... Yeah, or what's the... Yeah, Fortnite, or, you know, whoever. Whatever it is. Like, I mean, there's like these one-name celebrities who, because they play video games, whatever.
Ninja.
Write a song. There you go. That's what... That's America. It's exactly what America is. So now we actually have people who are able to make money on their market value. It's exactly how it should be. I'm not surprised. I agree with Ubbin. I guess I didn't exactly see this, like, this specific, you know, strategy, but it totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. And I think what you're going to see in terms of when you talk about Tennessee compared to other places, it's going to come back to, okay, do you prepare guys to go to the NFL? Do you win? Because people want to win championships. They want to be part of winning teams, and winning helps everybody. It's going to be a lot of the same things that already are being applied to decisions. Do you like the coaches? You know, I mean, there's still going to be all these things, and then there's going to be money for people. But again, let's also remember, there's been money for people.
I agree.
I think now, there's going to be more money for people.
I think there's going to be more money, and I will say, like, this is starting to turn into exactly what I thought it would when we had this conversation a few months ago, and that is, it's going to turn into bidding wars for recruits. That's how Texas A&M has the number one class in the country right now.
But again,
that's what it is.
It has been bidding wars for recruits.
I understand that, but this is all it's going to be now. Like, I don't buy the, oh, well, this coach is going to give me a chance to do stuff. Like, how much money can I make? This is where I'm going.
I disagree.
I 1,000% believe that's what it's going to turn into.
Because you still, like, first of all, you still have to be able to play.
I hear you.
Place. I mean, there's, you know, there's still scholarship limits. You know, that's one of the things that people. You know, one of my old editors, Tommy D's, we would argue about this. Like, well, the Texas schools just can get all the players. And they got oil money. I'm like, well, no, because Texas can't play four quarterbacks.
No.
I mean, you still.
Like, now, I will say Texas A&M just finished number one in recruiting.
Sure.
And it's because of this.
But let's look at their recruiting rankings in the last few years. What were they, three, four, three? They've been top five. And you know why? Because already money was going to people.
I know.
So, you know.
Don't tell Jimbo that.
Yeah, well, right. I mean. So yes, this they absolutely jumped on this, regardless of what he says, and that was a big part of them. But they already were recruiting at a ridiculously high level. Rich were always going to stay rich.
That's
and
the
be
thing.
Richer.
But this makes it to me like this makes it virtually impossible for your Vanderbilts of the world to really compete. Now we knew it's going to be hard anyway, but I think this makes this really really difficult.
Yeah, I don't think it's any different. I don't think it's any different for the Vanderbilts of the world. They were never going to get there. They were never going to get there. How were they going to get there?
Well, I'm not saying that they were going to get the top five stuff, but right. Everybody's going to do this now. And the money that other universities are going to be able to raise for this is just higher than a private university is going to be able to do it, I think.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with that. Again, I don't think Vanderbilt is trying to get to bowl games, right?
Sure.
But Vanderbilt has alums who, again, let's look at Northwestern. Northwestern built a $300 million thing on the lake. It's a tiny private school.
Yep.
Why? Because they have rich, very successful donors.
Yep.
So if you take those exact same donors with all the money they have and say, put it in this collective, you don't think that does something?
Oh, I'm sure it would. I think this is going to be the rich get way richer in college football, which I think that it's probably unavoidable anyway.
I don't
based
think
on
they
the fact
get,
it was going.
I don't think they can get richer.
Oh, well, I think they can.
I mean, you only can play so many players, you know?
I know.
I don't think this is going to like level the playing field, but nothing really ever was.
Right. I don't know. This is it, which by the way, as I was reading through this yesterday with Ubbin's article, like the amount of money we're talking about here is insane, like $25 million the goal. And the collectives or anything from here, you're going to show up here and do this. There's a car deal tossed in here too. All these different things that are part of it. I mean, it's a genius idea by Spire Sports in here that Tennessee is, I think, going to benefit from. What really stood out to me, and as I was reading this, and the Ubbin eventually got to it in the article, like it's a pretty good time to be Hendon Hooker or a quarterback at Tennessee as you're moving forward. Because I think as those guys in particular, the quarterbacks move forward here, I mean, you're talking about seven figures easy.
Absolutely.
For Hendon Hooker.
Well, and Hendon Hooker, I don't know what his NFL outlook is. I think he'll be in the league. I don't know that he's ever going to be a starting level quarterback in the NFL, make a ton of money in the NFL. So for guys like that, there are so many players who fall into that category of like great college player or really good college player, but you know, it's not quite there as a pro.
Troy Smith.
Troy
Smith.
There you go. That's a good one. Now, some people thought he was going to be, but he wasn't. I mean, look, okay, go back to Vanderbilt. Like Scottie Pippen Jr., watched him last night. He was fantastic. You know, 29 points. NBA scouts are there. I think he's going to end up in the NBA. And, I mean, again, Scottie Pippen is different because obviously he doesn't hurt for money anyway. But but he's here largely because he's able to make money. Some of that is off the fame of his family too, but he's able to make – like, to your point earlier about the rich get richer, you just said it's just going to come down to more money, right? So why wouldn't a Vanderbilt say, well, we'll outbid all these schools, you come here?
Because you're talking about a private school that does not have the same
– they don't have the same
alumni.
Number of people, but they've – again – I think Vanderbilt has a lot of very rich people. They don't have the numbers where you can say, hey, 10,000 here, 5,000 there. I mean, they got a few people over there who can put these collectives out of business if they want to, right?
They could. They've not done it yet. So, why would they start now? Would be my question.
Well, I think you'll see Vanderbilt in a lot of places do something like this. You're right that the places that have very successful people and huge alumni bases are at an advantage, but you're going to see money go to people at programs other than this too. I just think that the ultimate pecking order is going to be exactly the same.
Bama going to get that collective out there. Nick Saban driving the bus.
Well, I mean, actually, Nick Saban should be out there saying, nope, sorry, we don't need this.
We'll continue the discussion.
Family atmosphere.
Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise. .com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Westside texting in says, we have the money to do whatever we want. The problem is our donors don't want to spend it. Talking about Vandy. This is coming from Westside on the text line. Nate texting in says, Vandy hadn't cared about sports for a long time, and even though they've recently said they'll do a facility upgrade plans, the whole not allowing students at basketball games thing makes me think otherwise. Why would they start using this tool to get players? Doesn't seem like a Vandy thing. This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Okay. Well, first of all, that's a university decision that the athletic department did not make. I mean, that's you got to separate that.
Yeah.
Clearly, Vanderbilt's university administration has been unsupportive of sports over the years. No doubt there's been conflict. We've talked about a lot of this stuff. The late David Williams was frustrated as AD at times,
yep.
Certainly. So that's a true thing. But remember, Vanderbilt is raising $300 million for long overdue, much, much needed facilities, but it's $300 million.
Yep.
So if you can raise $300 million, and yes, some of it is from the university directly, but there's a lot of fundraising that I'm told is really going well for them. If you can do that, and again, it's not just John Ingram. John Ingram has given, I mean, I'd love to know the total number of the Ingram family has given to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
It's not just him. There are others, who have deep pockets who, to me, if you had something like this set up here, I think you would raise some money.
So how quickly, obviously, you mentioned it, Tennessee is kind of ahead of the game in this. How quickly do other universities catch on to this? I wouldn't think it takes very long because, as Ubbin points out in this article, this is the 2023 class is the first class that it's a full recruiting cycle of this is how NIL affects what you do. I would assume people catch up pretty quick.
I would too. Now, I think he has a good point there. Like, some people are going to be better at than others. You got to have the right people in place doing this. It seems like these guys, the Spire guys here, they're savvy. You know, they know what they're doing. They're going about things, quote unquote, the right way. I mean, I feel like they, look, it's all above board. They're willing to talk to a reporter about this, put it out there, which frankly I think is smart for them. But I could see some of these collectives kind of still thinking, eh, I don't know. But I think Ubben's exactly right. The NCAA, they are toothless, and they know it. And if you ever really wanted to try to, like, set caps or anything on this, it's not going to work. Happen. Thank goodness. But I don't know. I think you're going to see quick catch-up on this. And this is – again, this is where I disagree with you on, like, it's just going to be bidding wars because – like you do have other factors. You can still make more. Most of these guys are still going to be able to make more money in the NFL or potentially than they will with this.
Sure.
So some of them,
but you also have
the star quarterback. Yeah, I agree with you. Like it's seven figures. If you got a 5-star quarterback, everybody wants. Boom.
I hear you. Forget about it. We're also talking about 17-year-olds making decisions. And I know for me, when I'm 17, I'm thinking about right now. I'm not looking ahead. I'm thinking how much money can I get right now?
Yeah, but I mean, like, so if it's comparable though. Then I think that's where the other factor – I mean, if there's a huge difference in one place, I agree. But if it's, okay, 50,000 difference here, there, whatever it is, I think the other factors are still going to be huge in this. I mean, you know, and also most of these kids, you would think, would have some guidance as well. Like, okay, do you like the coach? What about the offense they run? You know, I mean, there's still – it's not just going to be straight up – dollars and cents, in my opinion.
Hunter Bador, who's with Spire Sports in this, the last quote that Ubben has in this article, to me, kind of sums it up pretty well. It says, quote, "It's investing in players just like you invest in brick and mortar and facilities to have a competitive advantage. Now you can invest those same dollars and put it into that defensive back that you see on the field every Saturday." That pretty much sums it up.
Exactly. And I love the NFL comparison. You know, like when Amy Adams Strunk was here, her first year, or first or second year as controlling owner, they redid the Titans facility and made it nice. And everybody's like, hey, that's nice. It's a nicer locker room. They're like, yeah, who in the NFL is like, oh, man, they got a bowling alley in the football building. Oh, I got to go there. I mean, it's seriously grotesque. Again, the Johnny Manziel thing will always be my great example. Texas A&M built like a $30 million building because he won the freaking Heisman.
Yeah.
You know, so they can get other players, and then like months later, he was being tracked down for selling his picture. This is this is the crap that thankfully is over.
Shane from Ashland City texting in says, "What happens when this fantastic kid gets $25 million, decides that's enough money to live his life and raise his kids, and never work again, and he quits football?" This is coming from Shane from Ashland City.
That'll happen, and you know what? That's exactly another argument against this, which is like this, it's just going to be, you know, millions and millions and millions and not go to anything. The people who are rich, who are giving the money for these things, they have a little bit of a sense for this little thing called return on investment. Yep. And that will, because it's not, I mean, that's an extreme example from Shane, but there's certainly going to be tons of examples of 5-stars, 4-stars, because there are every year who don't pan out for whatever reason. They got hurt, they weren't motivated, they didn't love the game, whatever it is. So that's going to also control the market to some point, to some extent. It absolutely will. Return on investment over time is going to have a say in the market here.
Liam texting in says, NIL ripped the veneer of legitimacy off of college football. No one will be able to pretend that every school can build a winner if things break their way with the right hire or scheme. Sure, it brought the dark money out of the shadows, which is good, but other sports leagues figured out a long ago that it's best for the sport to encourage competitive balance. If this simply locks the best few teams into the playoffs each year, the sport could suffer long term. And yes, Joe, I know it was already this way, but fans are delusional and need to be able to at least pretend that their team has a chance. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
I'm going
to
say again, I mean, look, Tennessee has been suffering for how long?
Long time. Hadn't been in a SEC title game since 07.
So we would agree, even though Tennessee has always had resources traditional, that they're not one of the haves, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I look at this as now maybe you got a chance to be a have again. No, if you want to go down to, well, yeah, Vanderbilt, I've never believed that this was going to help Vanderbilt win SEC championships. But I actually disagree with, like, that this takes hope away. I feel like, especially for those places like Vanderbilt, Northwestern, Wake Forest, Duke, where you don't have a huge alumni base, but you have very, very rich people. I think a Baylor, which, of course, has already been a pretty good program. I feel like, and you go to Texas, Houston, or whatever. I mean, all it takes is one T. Boone Pickens. If T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State, who built like, you know, a Disneyland of college facilities, what if we go back, the late T. Boone Pickens, by the way, what if we go back in time and this is in place? I don't know. Maybe the Oklahoma State Collective blows everyone else away. I mean, to me, it actually makes it possible for some outsiders to crack into the group.
ESPN 102.5, The Game, is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Make sure you tune in on Sunday, February the 20th at 1:30 p.m. for the Daytona 500 at Daytona International Speedway. Also, get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. We'll continue the discussion coming up on the other side. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Carolina Hurricanes. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning. Going to be joined by Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Hal Gill coming up at 9:30 as well. So lots to get to on the program.
I think that we should, although, you know, you pivoted to Hall & Oates, which is always welcome, but I like the Michelle discovering a great band thing. We should maybe try to make that a thing. Discovering like, you know, like bands. Here, today we do – fill in the blank.
Maybe we'll do Tears for Fears tomorrow. I mean, oh, Led Zeppelin.
Getting the lead out is, I could spend a month on getting the lead out. But yeah, see, and then sort of, you know, then have
is
Michelle.
Is that the song or is that like the slogan?
No, there's no get the lead. No, there's no the song. Slogan. Yeah, it's a lot of rock stations have like a Thursday night three. They play, you know, get the lead out. Play like three Zeppelin songs in a row.
That scares me.
Got to get the lead out. And also, real quick on our black licorice discussion, Chad from Chattanooga on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah. I love black licorice, but my wife won't get near me if I eat it, so I always have to make some real-life choices if I get some.
I feel like we really help people.
When you say some, you're talking about black licorice, right? Now, I will, in all seriousness, Katie won't let me eat it in the car. Because it is it is pungent.
Deadly.
But again, my dad used to crush it on long drives, and I would crush it with him. And to me, the taste and the aroma went together beautifully with the black licorice. One more thing on black licorice.
So are you more or less likely to have one?
I actually really want some black licorice.
Okay,
now,
so more likely.
Even though it can kill you. So there's one of those FAQ things on the internet. I don't even know what this is.
It stands for frequently asked questions.
Right, I know. But I don't know what
I'm
yes.
Just checking.
Yes. I know what FAQ means. This website is like it's like some Bellevue alumni. I don't know. But anyway, why is licorice bad for you? How does licorice kill you? What does licorice do to the body? All this stuff that we talked about, the acid, all this stuff that really is scary.
Yeah.
It is, however, possibly good for your liver. But here's
possibly. Okay. Keyword possibly.
Yeah. And Good and Plenty, by the way, is a brand that's a great black licorice flavor, if you haven't had that. The last question, what does it mean if you like black licorice? Black licorice fans consider themselves more wild and crazy. They like spontaneity and the thrill of adventure, are more likely to be outspoken, freely share their opinions with others, and often feel as though they're going a million miles an hour.
I mean, that's kind of Joe Rex Road.
Hit the nail on the head with that one.
Like, there's a lot of self-discovery happening today on the show.
There is.
But Joe, we love you, so let's chill with the black licorice.
Right, yeah. Thanks. I don't want to die. Yeah. Well, it's just like anything, though, right? I mean, isn't it like...
Moderation is key
in life.
Okay, but it's all...
Right?
Other foods aren't banned places.
That is true.
You're like, yeah, I get it from Australia. I'm like, oh, God.
But I could kill myself with how much, like, pork butt I eat in a setting, too.
That's true.
You know? So you got to keep it, the macaroni. Gout. One. Yeah, well, yeah, there's that.
Corned beef hash. I mean, the list goes on and on right. Of things we could do.
Yeah.
Banana pudding. Shane from Ashland City texting back in says, I don't think it's fair to other students who have to pay for their schooling. Meanwhile,
please,
this football
stop.
Player is Rich. I got to finish the text message.
I'm already pissed at Shane, but go ahead. Finish the text.
Meanwhile, this player is rich and had the full ride. If they're making this money, they should need to pay for school. It was coming
from
Shane.
Good God. Why? Do we seriously have to keep doing this? We live in a capitalist society. If you want socialism in this country, we'll have a totally different discussion, okay? If you have a skill or something that is marketable, I don't give a crap how old you are. You can be a child actor and make millions. You can be, again, I'll use the Belmont student who writes songs for the country star who makes all kinds of money because they're good at something. There is a huge market for college football.
There is.
There are millions of people. There's billions of dollars. I'm sorry that I totally feel the pain of, you know, the college student who has no money and doesn't have the marketable skill that the college football player does. That's tough. We live in America, for Christ's sakes.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, I love it when Joe is wrong. I don't know what she's saying you're wrong about, but Heidi loves it when you're wrong.
What? I'm
licorice, maybe?
Could be. I don't know. One thing that is interesting to me that I think does go back to the Tennessee part of this, I've always thought to myself, and you've heard people say this, being the quarterback at Tennessee, that's a big-time thing in college football. And, you know, everybody starts talking about Peyton Manning when they start talking about the quarterback in Tennessee. I am interested with – I think we're going to get a pretty good look at the Hendon Hooker part of this. And one of the interesting parts about this article that Ubbin writes is, you know, the people from Spire weren't really willing to go down specifics of what Hendon Hooker is going to make and what that money looks like. But Ubbin points out in the article, they'll share that with future quarterback recruits for sure. And they've already got their eyes on a recruit coming in that's a five-star that Tennessee's taking a look at. I am interested, like, what does the dollar value look like, not only now with Hendon Hooker, but going down the stretch with recruits at quarterback at Tennessee? Like, what does that look like in the grand scheme of things? Is that a seven-figure thing immediately if you're a quarterback recruit for Tennessee? I think it's possible that it is.
Well, I think it is. I think at any of these schools, I think you can basically count on – because, look, if you're a top program or even – again, Tennessee has not been a – they haven't been a top 20 program, but I think that they're – you know, that's what they are in terms of their overall profile. And certainly with this, they're going to be in there, right? If you want to judge it just by collective right now. But, yeah, any program that's a Power 5 program with decent chance to be competitive is going to get at least a four-star quarterback. So I think all of them are going to make a lot of money from these things. You know, again, but quarterback is another place where I look at when you talk about when you talk about trying to have some parity, you know, I think you're going to have a harder and harder time having a quarterback room anymore because you're going to have more and more quarterbacks who are like, well, I can start here. I mean, that's the interesting question. So if you're the third quarterback at Tennessee, what does that do for you? Does it make more sense to be the starter at, I don't know, whatever.
Vandy.
Well, or, yeah, Washington State, you know, whatever. I mean, you're the starter there. There may not be as much money, but being the starter and then you play well, and then, like, in Hendon Hooker's case, no one a year ago, who could have cared about Hendon Hooker? This collective wouldn't have given him a cent, right? But now there's a priority in keeping Hendon Hooker because everybody knows how good he is and how good this team can be next year. And now all of a sudden Hendon Hooker is capitalizing. So does it make more sense to go someplace where you can actually get on the field and basically earn a big paycheck?
How much money is Stetson Bennett getting in a collective?
Now you're saying.
Yeah, right now.
That's a good question. I feel like there's still Georgia fans who are like, nah, we need a five-star in there.
I know, but he just won a natty.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be something for him, right?
I would hope so.
But, yeah, but it's not Bryce Young money.
No, it is not Bryce Young money. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out here. I agree. Like, teams are going to catch on to this, but, I mean, it does feel like something Tennessee's had a head start in. I think there – and we had a text about this earlier. I think there was like a Gator collective version of this last year down in Florida, but it wasn't. It wasn't quite like this. It was different.
I mean that, but Ubbin's right. Collective is going to be
buzzword,
a majorly used and maybe overused word. And that's the thing. If everybody's going to be as transparent as these guys are, which I hope, you know, like at some point, there's probably going to be a website like, the Auburn Collective's up to $33 million. Oh, but look at the Louisville Collective. Can you believe they're at $19 million? That's not bad, Louisville. You know,
Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah. So I'm in for all this. I'm sorry to yell at Shane, but like it's such an old thing. Look, man, college athletes, if you are marketable and you are this good at something, why is it a problem to benefit financially from it? I don't understand. Again, Olympic athletes, and I'm old enough to remember when people thought the Olympics were just dead because now – you know, Mary Lou Retton can go do a Wheaties commercial.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter at all. It just means that now you can actually profit from something that very, very few people in the world could ever think to do.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. We'll get his thoughts on some of the many decisions that John Robinson and company have to make this offseason. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.